that we deserve for the way we live our lives. That's it. Draw a circle around sin. Second word from that verse. Asking your friend what he thinks when he hears this word, sin. Alright? So he'll say, oh, I think that's whatever. He'll say whatever he wants to say. Remember, yesterday I taught you, he has a right to say whatever he wants to say because that's what he believes. Or he may be even bluffing what he believes. But you explain that sin is more than an action. It is an attitude. Don't get too detailed because you've been to DCC and you know a lot about sin. See, we love to preach. We love to explain. Don't. Just say, it is more than action. It is an attitude. Someone said something? Yes. But say it in a way that makes it clear, you know. It's more than an action. It is an attitude. It's something within us. Alright? It can be either actively fighting God or merely excluding Him out of our lives. That's an attitude. When we don't think too much about God or think of Him only when we need Him. He's not actively part of my life. Or we might even be actively fighting God. It's an attitude. It's not an action. Here you can ask, has God ever seemed far away? What's he going to say? Or she going to say? Most people have had occasions when God seems far away. Especially if they're not Christians. Even nominal Christians will say that. I'm sure if you talk to some DCCers, they'll say many times. Now draw two opposite cliffs with a gap in between. So you're drawing now, see? You're drawing these cliffs. Have you seen the drawing? You draw those cliffs. Don't put all the words yet. You only put the word? No, you've only circled wages. You've put no Jesus. You put no words in the thing. You've only drawn the two cliffs. They're empty. You've circled wages and you've circled sin. You haven't done anything more in the drawing. You've circled wages and sin in your Bible. Or you've written it out. Alright. Then you circle the word death. And ask, hey Prakash, what comes to your mind when you hear the word death? And explain, simply, the Bible talks about death as separation. Separation. And can be physical separation, but it can also be emotional, spiritual separation. You're not getting into depth in theology. Alright. Then, circle the word but. And then say, you know, this word is important. Because there is a sharp contrast that this word brings into the next thought from all that we have looked at so far. See, we are spending how many minutes? Max. If you're going to start giving all your theology from whatever you know, you're going to be there for 15 hours. You got it? 15 minutes. That's all. Alright. Then, we just looked at the bad news, wages, sin, death. It's all negative. Now, something is coming, which is based on the word but, a contrast. Remind your friend, then you circle the word gift. Draw a circle around this word, gift.
Ask your friend, hey Lakshmi, if wages are what a person earns, then what is a gift? So obviously, what's a gift? You don't earn it. Oh, I get gifts when it's my anniversary or my birthday. You don't start debating and saying, no, you can get a gift anytime. What point are you going to make? The point is, a gift, someone has to purchase it, right? The one who gives you the gift has to purchase that gift, has to pay for that gift. Are you getting it? Next, circle of God, those two words. And explain that the gift you are talking about is free. It is from God Himself. It's free for you. God purchased it. It's so special that no one else can give it, this gift that God will give. How do you feel when someone gives you a special gift? Hey Lakshmi, how do you feel? Special gift, just for nothing. Listen, don't make comments. Then circle eternal life. And ask, hey Prakash, how would you define these words, eternal life? Then look at the two cliffs and write down wages, sin, death. Alright? And on the other side, write gift of God, eternal life. And put the word but in between. And say, look at it now. Can you see? On one side is wages, sin, death. But on the other side of the cliff, gift of God, eternal life. What's missing? Jesus Christ is missing. Alright? You're going to put it in. So circle Jesus Christ next. Draw these words. Put it in. So they create a bridge between the two cliffs and draw the lines. Help your friend consider that every gift has a giver, and only Jesus Christ can give the gift of eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ. So you've got the words written, you've been circling it on a sheet of paper. You see it in the drawing, it's on the top. And then you've started drawing the bridges, and then you've started filling in the words with the... And then right on top of Jesus Christ, you would add the word trust. Write this word over the bridge you just drew. Explain that friends trust each other, and tell your friend that Jesus wants a trusting friendship with him. You know, when I was involved in Love Maharashtra and starting it, we hired a person to write a summary of 9 people's biographies, those who had come from non-Christian background, and he printed 3 books. 3 biographies, totaling 97,000 copies. And I chose the title in these little thin books in Marathi that we were going to mass distribute all over Maharashtra. Of 3 non-Christians who had come to Christ, Baba Padmanji, Sadhu Sundar Singh, Pandita Ramabai, Brother Desh Pandey, and then Bishop Subhan from Muslim background. And the title of each of the books was God's Friends. And then I thought I must write a last chapter for each of these books about how the reader, after reading the biography of some non-Christian who became a Christian, can also receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. And the title of my chapter was, He Wants to Be Your Friend. That's the title I chose. And it was simple. Instead of saying, how to receive Christ, How to become a Christian. See, I gave up Christian words. So here, you're saying he wants a friendship. All you have to do, Prakash, is trust in Jesus. How? Admit that you are responsible for the sin of either fighting or excluding God from your life. That is what trust means. Trusting that Jesus wants to forgive you for rejecting Him from our life. At this point, you can ask Him if He wants to start a relationship with God that will last forever. I mean, this is a very simple method. You can adjust it according to your desire. Alright? Now, look at the next one. Page 20 and 21. Originally, it was the 5-verse method. I made it a 4-verse method. Because I reject the 5th verse as being evangelistic. Alright? Use this method when someone thinks he or she is a Christian. Nominal Christians, Roman Catholics. Very good. One of the good questions to start with a Roman Catholic. You know what's a good question to start with a Roman Catholic? He says he's a Christian. So you start with saying, when do you think eternal life begins? Huh? Hey, Alex Fernandez. He says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. Go for confession. I believe in this, that and the other. Fine. I'm not arguing of Mary and this, that and the other. I'm going to ask him, when do you think eternal life begins? Have Catholics heard about eternal life? If they go to church and confession, they've heard about it. When does it begin? Most Catholics will tell you when. When you die. No blunch? Yes or no? Okay, when I die. Then you say, can I show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life now? See? He says, yes, okay. And then you go through this. First question is, when does eternal life begin? Or you can ask, have you ever thought of becoming a Christian? He'll say, what do you mean? I'm already a Christian. So you say, what makes you a Christian? Or when does eternal life begin? Whatever his answer, if he's not a real Christian, his answer is going to be wrong. Or his answer might be right and he might say, actually I'm not a Christian. It's very interesting, some people will admit that they are not a Christian. And there are lots of people who say, I'm a Christian but I'm not born again. Now you don't get caught in that confusion. See, it's easy to get sucked into a distraction. What's the intention? You're intentionally wanting to speak only about Jesus Christ. Don't get sucked into distractions. So, you've got 4 verses marked in your Bible. John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and John 1:12. So, in each of these verses, you circle some words. In John 3:16, you circle 5 words. In Romans 3:23, you circle 2 words. In Romans 6:23, you circle 4 words. In John 1:12, you circle 2 keywords. Alright? Now, in each of these, there's a transition statement, right? What's the transition statement? In John 3:16. The transition statement will be, God wants to give us His love and show us His wonderful plan for our lives. But we cannot have His love or know His plans because of our sin. Now he listens to that. He's read, God so loved the world, etc. And you make this transition statement. God loves everybody. He wants to show His love. But what stands in the way is our sin. Then you move to the next verse. Again, this is a 10 to 15 minutes evangelistic method. You've read Romans 3:23, and you talked about all, circled all, you've talked about sin. And then what happens? There is an invitation which you can call invitation one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You say, what must we do? Do you think? Sorry, where was I? Yes. Romans 3:23. Being a sinner is a very serious matter, because it begins with bringing upon us the realization of our sin and a terrible consequence of our sin, according to this verse. Wages of sin is death, the gift of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm jumping. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you say, do you want to confess your sin? That's the invitation. You realize you're a sinner, do you? He says, no. I'm pretty good. Why do you want to call me a sinner? Have you met people who say, why are you trying to make me feel I'm a sinner when I'm feeling pretty okay? Say, fine, let's go to the next verse. Romans 6:23. After this, the transition is, what must we do to receive the gift of eternal life? That's the transition statement. We've got to do something. We move to John 1:12 to answer that question. What must we do to receive this gift of eternal life? You don't wait to answer it in your own words. Move to John 1:12, which says, all we have to do is receive and believe Jesus Christ, and we become children of God. So at that point, you say, how can we receive Jesus Christ? That's the transition statement. How can we receive Jesus Christ? What does John 1:12 say? You've got to believe. Receive and believe are synonyms. And he says, I have to believe. You can spend a little moment explaining believe means surrender your life to Christ. Not just in the mind, an academic, intellectual belief, but surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If he asks you a question, you explain that. And you say, you have to receive him. How do you receive anybody? How do you receive anybody? And then you can say, how do you receive anybody? Don't go to Revelation 3:20. Say, if someone wants you to receive him, what do? He says, oh, I might go to the railway station and pick him up. He wants to come into your life. What must you do? What will he say? I have to invite him into my life. Invitation number two. Will you do that right now? Now, you might tell me, and I hope you do, say, how can so quickly someone get saved? I'm telling you, at least do this and you'll be surprised that it'll lead to further conversations, or someone might actually pray. I refuse, in all these books that I've got these methods from, I refuse the last step of Revelation 3:20 and giving the non-Christian a phrase-by-phrase prayer. I don't prompt him in what words to use when he prays. When he says, okay, I will surrender my life to Christ, I say, talk to God, just as if you're talking with me. And surrender your life to Christ. And tell him you believe in him. And you forsake all other gods. You know, I interchange between this method and the crucifixion story method. Remember, it's a surrender. You forsake all other gods. and you tell God that. He says, well, I'm not willing to do that much. Then you know what you tell him? Are you willing to meet me again? And he might say, yes. He might say, for what? You say, I just love you. I'd like to meet with you and talk more about. See, intentional. I want to talk more about. Don't say, I want to talk more about this. This is what? This. This. No, I want to talk more about Jesus Christ. Next time you meet him, which method will you use? You can't use the same method again and again. He's going to say, what are you trying to do, man? So you've got to have several methods in your repertoire. That's why I've given you several methods. And while we break for tea, because Prashant has been very kind, I've given you two more methods, right? Okay, you can use these two. How many have not received these? Okay, they are here for your taking. And I see some of you just leave things around. And you're so respectful of me doing so much work to give you these things that you leave things around. And they're not staples, so they fly around. If you really want it, please care for it and use it. If you're just going to leave it around, you might as well be at home. It's here for your taking. Everything on this table is yours for the taking. And I'll come to those two methods as well. Ten minutes break.